This morning, our devotional comes from Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Talking to my mother this week, and I told her, I said, some of these words in here are awful tough on this old boy. So she said her Sunday school teacher told her years ago, if you can't pronounce it, call it Moses and move on. So I may say Moses. So it's Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city and one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoam, king of Hebron, and unto Pirah, king of Jarmuth, and unto Jephthah, king of Lachish, and unto Deborah, king of Eglon, saying, come upon me and help me, that we might smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the man of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
The title of our lesson today is The Day the Sun Stood Still. And I don't know that I'm going to get into that part of the lesson any, but that is the title nevertheless. And to give you a little bit of background on what is going on here, these men, these Gibeonites have, let me read here, in the ninth chapter of Joshua, in the fourth verse, speaking of the Gideonites, the Gibeonites, it says, they did work wily, and went and made as if they had, been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread and their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua into the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. In other words, what they did, they pretended to be a people from a far country that had traveled for many weeks or months from this far country, and that they were out of their land that they lived in, and they said, make a league with us. In other words, let's be joined together. Let's not be enemies. And they did this because later on in the ninth verse, and Joshua called to them and spake to them, saying, wherefore have ye beguiled us, saying, we are very far from you when we dwell among you. Then why did you do this? Joshua asked them. And the 24th verse, then they answered Joshua and said, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing. Well, they were scared. That's what they told Joshua. We were scared. We know what God told Moses. We know that you were commanded to kill us, and we were scared, so we pretended to be another people so you wouldn't kill us. And so, let me jump back in the 14th verse here, speaking about the children of Israel, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That is, they took these Gibeonites at their word that they weren't in the land that the children of Israel were to possess, but rather from a different land. They took these people at their word. They didn't ask of God what to do. And because they had promised these Gibeonites, they wouldn't destroy them. They had made a league, as the Gibeonites had asked, then they were kind of bound to not do that. But rather they made them, it says, ewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation. That is, they put them to work. These Gibeonites were their servants from this point forward. Now that's just to give you a background study so you'll know where we are in the lesson that we're going to read today. But as I read that and I studied it and I thought about these children of Gibeon, they were a heathen nation. They didn't know God, but they had heard of the power of God. They had heard of this children of Israel. They'd heard of this people of God, and they recognized and they saw that there was power there. There was something that they couldn't overcome. They understood that. And it has said in Jimmy read just a little bit ago, speaking of these other people, this king of Jerusalem and this other people that they're going to be destroyed here shortly. It says that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Now this is speaking of Gibeonites, these Gibeonites that have gone and said, you know, we want to be your servants, essentially, is what they had said. Make a league with you. So this fear has spread to these other people. The difference is the Gibeonites recognized that they were weak, that they weren't going to be able to withstand the children of Israel. They weren't going to be able to stand up against the power of this God that they didn't know. And they kind of humbled themselves in a sense. They didn't try to fight, but rather they did tell a lie. But you know, they told a lie, but they also said, in the ninth verse, the Gibeonites said, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. So their reasoning was that they had heard the fame of God, that they knew about this God. Not that they knew him, but they knew about him. These other people that we're going to study today had the same knowledge in that they had heard, but they had a different reaction. That's where we're picking up here in the seventh verse of the 10th chapter of Joshua. And it says, so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Ascoth and unto Makeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them into Achazah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned unto all Israel with him, and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. The thing that I get from this reading here is the part where it says in the 11th verse, they were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now the children of Israel killed a lot of people with the sword that day. all these kings that had gathered together. And Jimmy read in the devotional background study all the various kings that gathered together and brought their men of war with them to fight against the children of Israel, because this king of Jerusalem, and understand that Jerusalem wasn't a city of Israel at this point. This was before it had been taken. It says this king, Adonizedek, he has gone and gathered up all these other kings in the region round about because he is feared. In much the same fear that the Gibeonites had had, but his reaction was different. He decides he's going to fight. He decides, well, he can't do it alone, so he's going to gather up all these other kings, and together they're going to be strong enough. They're going to beat these children of Israel. That's their thinking. They're thinking as a natural man would think, and that would make sense as a man, you know, to look about and say, well, they're too strong for me. I'm not going to be able to fight them. Let me get some backup. Let me get some help. Bring some more people on. That made sense from a natural standpoint, but it didn't make sense from a spiritual standpoint. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 says, if God, let me turn. I don't want to quote this wrong, because I've got two verses that are coming to my mind at this time. Romans 8, verse 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God was with the children of Israel that day. And so it didn't matter how many kings gathered together to fight against Israel, they weren't going to win. They didn't stand a chance. And that's proven in two places here. One, where it says more died from hailstones that day than what the children of Israel slew. And again, I understand the children of Israel slew a lot of people. There were just more people killed with hailstones. And also this miracle that was given, that the sun stood still and the moon stood still, the day was lengthened to the point that that God's people could overcome these other people here that had gone to war with them. Sometimes people wonder about all this death here, this how these how God would cause His people to destroy these people. It seems kind of cruel, because they were commanded to utterly wipe them out. And I think you probably already know the answer to that question, but just to be sure, to be clear here, God knew the hearts of these men. God knew that they weren't ever, these other people were never going to turn to Him, that they were going to harden. He knew that these people were going to corrupt His people. And because His people, the children of Israel, at some point in time didn't follow God, didn't utterly destroy them, but rather allowed some of them to, and this I think was in Saul's time, King Saul's time, allowed some of them to live, they did go on to cause corruption among His people. They tempted Him. They brought Him to the side. And the end was worse than the beginning there. And it's the same situation here. God looked down and said, this is enough. These people aren't going to turn back to me. Their hearts are hardened, just as Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It's better for them to come to an end at this point than to increase and have more children and more people that fail to believe and harden their heart. It's better to just put an end to it. And so from that perspective, it was, I believe, the reason why God did the things that He did here, caused these to happen in order to avoid more heartache down the line. And it's when God's people fail to follow God and do as He would direct them that sin enters into the camp. And I studied a little bit today, and I read some about the sin of Achan. You know that story, how that Achan, when they were in battle, found some garments and some gold and some silver, and he coveted it. The children of Israel had been instructed to destroy everything, not to bring any spoils back. No captives, no animals, nothing. Completely and utterly destroy everything. But they can snuck some of this gold and this clothing back in because he desired it. It looked good to him. It was material gain, blessing. And I'm sure it did look good. Let's not say that that's something that I would never do, because, you know, you get out there and you look at things and, wow, I'd like to own that. I'd like to have one of those. That's pretty neat, pretty shiny. But it was wrong. It was a sin. And because of that sin, God wasn't with the children of Israel. And because of that sin, Achan and his entire family lost their lives. They were stoned to death, and then everything, them and all their possessions, were burned. That's earlier on in the Old Testament. I don't remember exactly where it was now. But the point is that when God's people allow sin to creep into their lives, into God's congregation, whether it's the children of Israel or whether it's us today as missionary Baptists or whoever may be God's people at the time, when sin creeps into the camp, God is no longer, his presence is no longer there as it could be. Now, we have the opportunity to turn back to God, and I never want it to be thought that I'm saying that God won't be with us, that he'll take his salvation from us. That's not going to happen. But he can take the church from us. He can take the joy of our salvation. He can take our loved ones. He can take everything if he chooses. So it's a very serious matter, and it's something to be on guard about. You know, it says in the 14th verse here, and the men took of their victuals, that is the giving us, and they asked not counsel of the mouth of the Lord. I think they grew at ease. They kind of grew lax. They kind of sensed that the Lord was on the very verge of delivering all these people to them. And so they felt like the path was laid out. They felt like everything was just going to go good. And it was going to. It did, from their perspective. But they kind of grew at ease. And this one thing, they didn't ask counsel of the Lord. I kind of think that had they asked counsel of the Lord might have allowed these Gibeonites to live. The reason I think that, and I don't know if that's a fact, but because the Gibeonites, I sense a fear there. I sense a desire to make peace. Now, they went about it wrong in that they told a lie, but nevertheless, they saw something and they were worried. They were scared. They didn't, I don't think, they hardened their hearts the way these other people did. And that's a big difference there. When a people doesn't harden their hearts, there's opportunity there. There's a chance of repentance. When people harden their hearts and refuse to hear and just plow on forward, there's not much good gonna come from that. And that's what these other kings did, and they were utterly destroyed here by Joshua and the children of Israel. Bringing that back to us today, you know, we're faced with Satan every day. And I think Satan is growing more and more bold. He's getting a hold of more and more people. The things that you read about, Jimmy asked us to remember those people up in South Carolina. That man, 20-year-old boy, however you want to say it, walked in and sat with those people for an hour, and then he killed nine of them. And that was on his heart. That's what he had in his heart to do when he went in there. That's really hard for me to understand, how you can sit with the people for an hour. To burst out in rage and everything is one thing, but you're going to begin to know somebody in an hour when you sit there with them and they pray and they talk and they sing. I don't know anything about those people, that church. You know, I think it was a missionary Baptist, but I don't know that it was maybe not a missionary Baptist as we would see it. I don't know. But nevertheless, that was a people that sat there that were at least attempting to worship God. And I can't help but believe that Satan used that man, that to kill them. I mean, I don't know. I can't get my mind around it other than to say that it was evil. It was wrong. And I think that we're faced with that every day, that Satan is out here, he's devouring people, literally, using them any way that he can to wreak havoc and destruction and cause problems. We're faced with that, and the only way that we can fight that is through God, through His grace and His mercy and His power. And we as His people have to turn to Him and ask for that grace and that mercy and that forgiveness, because even though I'm saved, I'm still a sinner. I still fall short. I don't do the things that He had me to do a lot of times. I do things that He doesn't want me to do a lot of times. I need to repent of those things. I need to ask Him to forgive me and to be with me and to strengthen me, that I'll be better the next time around, because we're faced with a devil that is out there, as I said, devouring everybody that he can. And don't think that because we're saved, he can't get to us one way or the other. He got to David, King David. Read about the things that he did. Well, Satan knows more now than he did back then, so, and I'm no stronger. I'm not as strong as David was at any time. We need God. We need His Spirit among us. We need Him to guide us. We need Him more so now than at any time that there's ever been, I believe, in history. With Him, we can persevere as the children of Israel did. We can win the battle. Without Him, we don't stand a chance. That's all that I've got today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments, questions?
Yeah, when you talk about the children of Israel, when Jacob, when he walked around the wall of Jericho, they come falling down, they walked straight in and destroyed them all. They thought it was going to be an easy battle. But when they had this, go up another little town, and the Lord told them to take it over, well, they sent just a few men up there, and thought it would be an easy task. You know, rest the rest of them. Well, it wouldn't be easy task. Several of them got killed. Mm-hmm. And so they had to, that's when they got buried to go. And I think that's a warning to the people of God. And I think maybe that's the reason they kept straight. Because he got all these people under his thumb. And they was given to Joshua. And I think Joshua pretty much followed the rules that God gave him. Then all for he got everything settled. So we see another night with David, when he had all the children of Israel, and when he married all them wives, what he and it's basically his son, when he married all the people, he went away from what God's plan was too.
In a big way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A big way.
Yeah.
And of course, you'd think a man as wise as he was would not have done that thing, but evidently, the devil gets hold of it and do a lot of things.
I believe so, and I think that's what happened. I think Satan got a hold of him and was able to corrupt him and enter into his mind things that he shouldn't have been thinking. But it ought to be a warning to all of us. If a man David, a man after God's own heart, and his son, the wisest man that ever lived, can be derailed, you know, we've got to watch out. If there's nothing else, let's be dismissed. Let's remember the prayer request. Let's remember Brother Maggard at 11 o'clock. Sonny, would you dismiss us?
My gracious kind heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. Thank you for those who yes, Father God, come today. Bless and encourage us our service. Bless every Father, perhaps for you, send for us today. Bless and be guided. Bless every Father, Bible.